Welcome back again to the beginning of season number two.
Yeah, it's technically not, because now we're episode two.
No, this is episode one, part two.
But isn't that season two, episode two?
No.
So was it season two, episode one,
part two? Yes.
212?
I'm up in the 212, yo.
What the fuck?
So what's going on? It's Matt.
And I am confused as Bumblefuck Pokey.
There you go. And we are They Go to 11, and welcome back to the second half of our top 11 albums that turned 20 years old in 2015.
Now, we hope that you listened to our previous podcast.
That's right. It's like Christmas. No peeking at your presents until Christmas.
But once you unwrap them from the tree, you can look at them all you want.
Exactly.
So by now, if you haven't gone back and listened to it, now's the time for you to look at the presents that you missed.
Please flip the tape over and start on side one.
I was just going to give a rundown of our 11 through 6.
Nope. They can wait till the end, because that means they don't have to go back and listen.
That's true.
So
maybe we shouldn't do it at all.
Now we got to do it. We started this.
All right.
I don't want to waste the reel to reel.
Okay.
All right. So what do you have at number 5?
Number 5, you know what? I broke the rules again.
Fuck you. Stop.
I love breaking the rules. I am that guy.
Then why do we set rules anymore? If you're going to continuously break them.
Do we even have rules in the beginning?
Yeah,
we did. Our first two episodes.
We had rules, and we still do have rules.
Nah.
Albums that turned 20 in 1995. That's kind of self-explanatory.
Well, here's how I break the rules. The rules here is that I have another tie. And that, I think, is breaking the rules. Both are in 95. Okay, when I say I broke the rules, I broke the rules and then I have a tie. How about that?
I guess for you, that's as close as following the rules. So
there we go.
Go ahead.
So both of these albums are unique in that, number one, they're debut albums. And number two, they unleashed a sound that nobody ever heard before.
Pip farting on a snare drum.
No. Because that's an insult to those two albums. The first one, The Foo Fighters with
The Foo Fighters.
This was...
Actually, before you go any further, this is my number 5.
Oh, this is a beautiful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this happens on very few occasions.
And it's in the first episode of season number 2.
Wow. You know what? Wait. The first episode of season 1, we also agreed.
I think we did.
Number 1. Wow, you all got to go back and listen to it. You know what? Maybe this is just the beginning of the season thing.
It's the beginning of the end. Or is it the end of the beginning?
That didn't come out till 97, 98?
No, that came out in 2014.
No.
Black Sabbath?
Yeah, no, but there was on the one Batman soundtrack, Smashing Pumpkins had The Beginning is the End is the Beginning.
No, I'm not going with those.
And The End is the Beginning is the End.
No, I'm going.
They have both tracks on
there. Black Sabbath, but go on.
Anyway, so you had the Foo Fighters, which now we're post-Nirvana.
And
it's something that, apparently from what you've told me, Dave Grohl started this.
This was a secret project of Dave Grohl because he was trying to cope with the death of Kurt Cobain. And he did a little bit of something, and he was embarrassed to show it to anybody because it was him singing, playing guitar, playing bass, playing drums. The whole album was him.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on the songs, and then somehow or another, somebody got a hold of this, or he played it for somebody. I forget how it went. But his biggest fears were put by the wayside because people actually took notice of it.
Yeah.
So this is the birth of the biggest band in rock and roll right now.
Yeah.
I can safely say that they are the number one band in rock and roll, and Dave Grohl is the hardest working musician around right now.
Do you know that right now they are prepping and rehearsing for a 3.5-hour stage show?
Do you know that he is also now working on another new project called Teenage Time Killers?
I heard about that. But that's the
well, hang on. I'll just mention it really quick because this is a testament to how hard this guy is working right now. So, A, he put together Sonic Highways, eight cities, nine studios recording the new album all over the country. Then you just mentioned they're doing the prep for the stage show for 3.5 hours. Now he's working on another project, and in this project he's bringing in like the big fucking guns. He's doing with Corey Taylor from Slipknot. He's doing other members of the Foo Fighters, members of Lamb of God, members of COC.
Like some people that you wouldn't think
it's
would work with him.
It's going to be insane. Like if you've ever heard Probot, I can imagine what this is going to be. This is going
to be. I'm surprised Dave Grohl didn't become the new drummer of Slipknot.
This is going. No, he's not that good. I don't think he could play like Joey Jordison did.
I think he could.
But be that as it may, this was the. This is a testament to how hard this guy works. So in the beginning, for him to be as timid as he was about getting this thing heard, especially since it was post Kurt Cobain, you know. But that's my take on this. So this is the first part. What is the tie that you put with this?
The tie is another groundbreaking album in that it's a sound you never heard before. And I don't think you're a big fan of the band. As a matter of fact, I'm almost 90% certain you're not a big fan of the band. But to me, they're one of my favorite bands. And this album is what introduced us all to this style of music. The Deftones with Adrenaline.
Meh.
You don't like it. If here you go. I had a friend from Winfield Park named Ryan. And Ryan, his brother, his sister, they're all huge Korn fans, first off. But, you know, used to hang out with Ryan. Ryan worked at the school across the street from where I lived. He was a janitor. You know, after school janitor. And, you know, I go over, I'm hanging out with him, you know, bullshit, and he hands me a tape cassette. He's like, dude, you want to hear good music? Yeah, he's like, just go pop this in your tape player. Tape player, yes, we're going there. Tape player.
We're on a reel-to-reel. I don't want to hear anything about a cassette.
I popped in this tape. Holy shit. Mind you, I didn't even start with side one. I started with side two. Fucking mind blown. It was different.
There's only two songs on here that I actually like. Just looking at the track listing.
I love that album from front to back. I'm guessing the two songs that you like on there, you probably like Seven Words.
Nope.
Okay, what do you like?
Minus Blindfold and Engine Number 9.
Engine Number 9 is an awesome. Both are awesome songs. Literally, I love this album from front to back. I love Seven Words. I love Engine 9. I love Minus Blindfold. Like, I can't pick out a bad track on this album.
Anything but track 2 or track 9?
No. I like, no, seriously, there is not a bad track on this album. And how would you what would you classify the Deftones as musically?
Metal.
But they're not.
How can you say that they're not?
They're not metal. There's no way. I'll give you new metal, but at that time that term did not exist.
They were just metal.
You think metal at that, you think metal in 95, two things come to mind.
Metallica.
And Slayer.
Anthrax.
But people didn't give a shit.
Megadeth.
People didn't give a shit. They lost to Metallica. In 95, people really didn't start to give a shit about Megadeth until like about 2000. People sat there and said, wow, there was this other band than Metallica.
I don't think so. People still like them. It just wasn't like as big as it is now. And even now, they've fallen off the wayside with them breaking up and... We're not breaking up. We're taking a small break. Well, we've got to find a new bassist, a new...
Whatever. That's a whole other subject. Point being, though, is that... Okay, even if you go Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, did the Deftones sound anything like those guys?
No, and they didn't, but it was
so
still...
So you can't really classify it as metal.
Well, guess what?
Can you classify it as punk? No. Can you classify it as alternative? No. Can you classify it as grunge? No.
You can classify it as alternative. It's
no actually, way in hell.
It could be alt metal.
There you go. But at that point in time, you had no idea what the fuck to classify it as. And let me tell you something. I saw the Deftones live. I've seen the Deftones live 4 times. Fucking incredible.
I saw them once, and that was enough.
Fuck, no, you saw them twice.
When did I see them twice?
You said you saw them...
Summer Sanitarium.
And you also saw them when we saw Alice in Chains.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
See, that's how much they're like, just missed.
But your first time when you saw them, Summer Sanitarium, you didn't like them. But when you saw them with Alice in Chains, you're like, holy shit.
They were better, but there's still not anything great to me.
But I saw them, first time I saw them in concert, Ozfest 99. Holy shit. Like, just fucking incredible. And they're still incredible. That album, though, was groundbreaking in terms of its sound. Just like the Foo Fighters self-titled was groundbreaking in its sound. It's something nobody ever heard before. The Foo Fighters, you have Dave Grohl, who was the drummer of
the biggest band in the world at that point.
Yeah. And talk about this new sound called grunge. And now you're expecting, when you hear Dave Grohl's doing something, you're thinking, okay, he's just going to be building off Nirvana.
But he didn't. That was actually just straight on rock. That's all that was.
It was just something totally different. And to have an album that was straight on rock when everybody was funk, you know, everybody was looking at, do I want to be punk or do I want to be grunge? It was unique. As was Adrenaline in its own sense.
All right, I'll go with it. Now, this is going to be very interesting.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so...
We talked five.
We both talked five. Now, number four. I'm curious to see if we follow each other up the list on this, because I can't see this. Maybe the next two.
Well, no, we're not going to agree on number four.
Maybe.
No, because you had number four in your first half.
All right, well...
But I think maybe...
And if you didn't put this other one in here, I'm going to be very fucking shocked.
No, there's... I'm sure my 3, 2, and 1 are on your list.
Well,
they better be.
Number four.
Do you want me to go number four first?
Number four.
Number four was that band that was supposed to be the next Beatles. This is where I have Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory. Again, this to me is one of those albums that's complete. And again, just like my number fives, this is that album that it was a sound that we haven't heard. We haven't heard this sound in 40 years or 30 years.
At that point, yeah.
30 years. So to introduce a whole new generation to a quote unquote new sound, it was like mind blown. And if it wasn't for...
I don't think it was a new sound. Let's not get it twisted, because the Beatles did it.
But
this was a sound that you could like. That
your parents could like.
They could like. And it was okay for you to like it because it came out in 95 and it didn't come out in 1960, whatever. This was okay.
It wasn't a new sound, but to this generation, it was new. You know, that's what I mean when I say it's a new sound. But this was the band that was supposed to be the next Beatles. And if you listen to that album... Rightfully so.
I agree. I completely agree.
But when you have two brothers who literally throw each other over a balcony at a fucking award show nonetheless, and the band breaks up and then they're back together for 2 weeks and they break up. Listen, the Beatles were together for at least 10 years before they broke up.
A little bit longer than that.
I said at least 10 years before they broke up.
I don't think they ever broke up.
No, they all went their separate ways for a little while.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh, we're all done. That's it. No. It wasn't like that.
But the point of the matter is that you have two brothers who are constantly fighting back and forth, back and forth. As a result, it never amounted to what it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely tell on the work. It was very shoddy afterwards.
You know, and any work that came from across the pond, whether it be England or anywhere else.
Actually, Savage Garden didn't do a bad job. They were just too electronic.
Yeah. But, like, Garbage. Garbage came from England.
They didn't sound English.
No. Bush. Wasn't Bush from overseas, too?
Bush was the first British band to make it in the grunge scene. But they didn't sound like it either.
No. And that's the whole point. I think if Oasis really ushered this in properly, then you would have sat there and said, wow, Garbage is from England. Bush is from England.
If they weren't being such wankers, of course.
Wow. Listen, are you auditioning for Robin Hood?
If you're not a mank, you're a wank.
Listen, unlike other Robin Hoods, I speak with a real British accent. Anyway.
The head shake I'm giving you right now. Go on.
But the point of the matter is that this to me for 95 was something iconic and needs to stay there at number 4. I can't believe you had that in the first half, and I won't even say where you had it.
Well, here's the reason why. Because the album to me was meh. It was not the greatest. It wasn't bad. The sound, yes. The sound was iconic for the 90s. Who doesn't know Wonderwall? But there were very few songs that were memorable outside of the few that were popular. The next band that I have on here, this was really something new. It was female. Once again, we're going female here. It was ska. It was rock. It was punk.
Don't worry, they're on my list.
I was going to be shocked if it wasn't on your list.
Oh, see, this... Oh, God.
No Doubt.
Oh, No Doubt. She was Tragic hanging above Kingdom. My bed.
Was she above your bed or was she overhead of your bed?
No, I didn't go that far to put it overhead, but I had her and Shirley Manson like right to the side of my bed.
Yeah, but this truly was something very, very, very different, especially for girls at the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, like, all the other girls, there were no girls that were doing, like, punk or ska.
No, she...
She was it.
You know what? We can talk about this in depth right now because I have this album at number 3.
Okay.
So you're number 4, my number 3. I mean, it was groundbreaking, and just like you said, no girl did punk. No girl did ska.
And they had the quintessential girl anthem on here.
Yeah.
It was just a girl.
Yeah.
And the songs that were just big on this, just going down the list here, Spiderwebs, Just a Girl.
Don't Speak.
Don't Speak is on here. Sunday Morning is on here.
Interesting fact for you. And you know what? I feel so bad. So, so bad. Because if it was me, I wouldn't be able to do it. Don't Speak. Do you know what that's about?
That they were dating in a band?
Her and the bass player were dating. They broke up. That song was written about her side of the breakup. That was her song about the breakup. Now imagine that. Imagine being on the road every night. You have to play that song. You can't not play that song. Can you imagine that shit? I wouldn't be able to do it.
That's like dating in the workplace. That's why you just don't do it.
But that was just the way, you know. But what I liked about this album, it was complete. It was complete, you know, and not just complete in that from front to back, but it was
back
complete
to front.
But at the same time, you had the elements of punk in there. You know, here was a girl who's saying, yeah, you know what? I can do what the guys do. Fuck it.
And they covered the Beatles.
And at the same time as that's happening, you have a bass sound that's actually a combination of like funk and groove.
Well, it had to be to keep up with everything else they were doing.
You had a guitarist who is a former heavy metal guitarist.
Yep.
Who's now doing punk, ska, and really performing something unique. And then to me, and again, this is like the drummer in me, this was like the whole thing where it was just something different. You have a drummer who's using things that really weren't big until this time. And Abe from the Deftones did it too. This is where you start using like piccolo snares, which is a smaller version of a snare drum, smaller size tom-toms. So this way you get a different, you're getting a higher pitched snare drum. You're getting more of a mid in your toms instead of getting like that deep, like flat sound. It was just something unique to the drumming, you know, and that's what I like. You know, I like the groove. You have the groove bass. You have the chick who's doing the ska punk thing. You got the freaking heavy metal guitarist who's doing these totally unique sounds. And you have a drummer who's sitting there drumming something that you have the deeper bass, the more toned down mids, the higher snares. It was unique. And it just came together in something perfect. And then one of the other things it did for me is when they performed in concert, they did the Imperial March from Star Wars. And when, it's funny, when she did Just a Girl in concert, like, she fucks with all the guys. Like, all the guys in the band.
Imagine.
Oh, all the guys in the band. It's funny as hell.
Now to see them do it, it's kind of like, oh, we've played this a million times.
It's not the same. You will never capture that vibe again.
No, they can't.
Because this is like, okay, yeah, we're young. We're in our 20s.
Well, and then they also had musical integrity then, not now that they sold out to...
And nowadays, you can't go back to it. Yeah, you could play it, and people are just like, yeah, that's awesome.
But
you play
that
in the middle of your set now instead of at the end of the set.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right, so we did...
That was my number four. That was my number three, so yeah. Let's go to your number three.
Man, this is getting confusing.
This is. We'll get there. We'll straighten it all out. Don't worry. All
right. So, my number three, another female.
She's my number two.
Oh, we're just hopping up the list on this one.
Oh, we are. At least I think she's my number two.
Hopping up this list. And this is very all of me to include this here.
Is this the same female we're both thinking of?
Maybe.
See, in my opinion, this is the original Taylor Swift.
I don't know if we're talking about the same person.
Go ahead.
We're talking Alanis Morissette. Jagged Little Pill.
In my opinion, this is the original Taylor Swift.
No.
I'm going to explain myself.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to explain myself.
No, hang on. Even before you explain yourself. You know what? I will let you explain yourself. Go ahead. Because I am going to rebuttal on this incredibly hard.
This is the chick who made... The revenge breakup song. This is the chick who, like, literally sat there and said, you know what? Yeah, you want to leave me? Fuck you. I'm going to write a song about it. And not just a song like Don't Speak, where it's like mild and I'm helpless. No, this is... Well, you know the song I'm talking about.
Alanis Morissette is a lot more vicious than Taylor Swift ever was. Taylor Swift is all happy. When the fuck did Taylor Swift ever say, are you thinking of me when you fuck her? Come on, dude. Really?
Do you think she could get away with saying something like that?
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
If she really wanted to be. Well, actually, no. You know what? I don't think she has it in her.
No.
Let's go with that.
But this is the chick that wrote the breakup songs that made you sit there and say, I don't need to be the helpless chick.
You know, the only person that I would say maybe if you wanted to compare it to today.
You
want to
throw Adele into that too?
That's who I was going to go with. If you wanted to write a breakup song, I would go with Adele before Taylor Swift.
Okay.
However.
So let's just say this is the original. This is the person that Adele looked to for inspiration. Do you want to go there?
Okay, hang on. But first and foremost, I think that Alanis Morissette on this album.
Fucking phenomenal.
Is incredible on this album. After this, she had one other hit
song. And I'm not
song.
Comparing her to Taylor Swift in any way, shape, or form.
You just... No.
I'm saying that this is the fucking inspiration for artists like that.
I think the inspiration has just been there all along. Oh, you fucked me over. I'm going to write a song about you and blast you to everybody.
And it was fucking great.
But this... This was...
Would she go edgy. Down on you in a theater?
Possibly. But this was edgy. For females to talk about this at this time, this was edgy.
Yeah.
And let's see. Let me get my track listing here for this album. Okay. So, on Jagged Little Pill. How many other albums did she have? Like two?
No.
She had like one or two, maybe three?
No. You fucking crack.
How many she had?
Go ahead. Start talking about that because I'm going to pull up the albums.
All right. So, not all of these are breakup songs. Like, All I
no,
Really
there's
Wanted.
Not.
All I Really Wanted. Great song. You Ought to Know.
Great song.
Hand in My Pocket.
Yep.
You Learn. Head Over Feet.
Like, you can listen to everything on there.
You Ought to. Yeah, it's like, it's just, there's actually a longer version on yep. this album of You Ought to Know that's 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But this is just a great album. The way it's produced, it's so clean.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like she's just in, like, a very tight room and everything's very tight. I love that sound in an album.
And it was something cool. It was different. And this is, like you said, when you have a chick who's like, and again, this is what I'm saying. Could you get away with it now? This was the 90s, and the 90s was all about attitude.
Yeah, it's attitude.
You couldn't get that nowadays. Nowadays, attitude doesn't exist in
no,
music.
No, it's all, you know, look at what I got. It's all swagger. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Not swag. Swagger. The real word.
I know exactly what you're talking about. 1, 2, 3. First off, Jagged Little Pill is her third album.
Mm-hmm.
8 albums.
And she had this one.
And that's not counting the acoustic album, or the two acoustic albums, one Unplugged and one is Jagged Little Pill acoustic. There's other ones.
But the only real other hit she had was one where she's standing in public naked. I think that was, what, Thank You was the name of that song?
No, but there's also the track that she did for the fucking Nicolas Cage movie.
City of Angels?
Yeah. That was pretty fucking good. And it also, I think, was on the album. I think it was also on her album afterwards, supposed former Infatuation Junkie. Let me see.
You can tell me what that is. I don't know what the fuck that is.
That came out in 98. So it came out in 98. And that's where the song Thank You was on.
Mm-hmm.
She also had the hit off the City of Angels soundtrack, which also came out in 98, called Uninvited, which was a really dark song. It really was. But she's had a few songs, you know, here and there. It's, and you know, again, she's been active in the music industry for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Since 85.
Yeah.
So
I do remember something
she,
like that now.
She's had a 30-year career
to that point, but never really.
And now we're
it.
Talking about a 20-year-old album. Imagine how that makes her feel. Alanis, if you're listening, you're still young.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So that was your number two.
No.
What
Wait,
was it?
Was it? Yeah, that was your three, my two.
Okay.
Right? Let me just double check the list here. Hang on. Yes, your three, my two. Let's get to your two.
So, now comes time for my number two, and I don't think you have them on your list at all.
I don't think I do either.
The only reason that this one is so high is because they had an epic album before this. Then they turn around and get...
Green Day.
Huh?
So did Green Day.
Right. But this was the first of the big fuck you to the fans, because the fans wanted more of the same. And guess what? We're not giving it to you. We're doing something completely different, and you're going to like it. And they did. They said their fans don't know what they want. And they were right. And it worked. And the album is actually not that bad. For 1995 standards. For 1995 standards.
Boo.
Oh, please, you put fucking Green Day on this list with that shitty album. This one actually has, for being completely different and being something that they normally didn't do.
Boo.
Yeah. It's Radiohead.
Boo.
With the bends. And I know you don't like Radiohead at all.
Boo.
And neither do I, because I hate Karma Police.
I'm fucking sick and tired of that song.
I hate Karma Police. But two of my favorite Radiohead songs are coming off of this album.
That ruined Radiohead for me. Because of that fucking song, I cannot like Radiohead.
Listen to...
I don't care. Because of that song, I cannot like that fucking band.
Okay, so once again, I even like fucking Deftones songs. I don't want to hear it.
So once again, I say, boo. Yeah, but were Deftones ever overplayed on the fucking radio?
I don't care. I just don't like the Deftones. But there's still songs that I like by them. You got to give other shit a chance. Listen
to... Okay, you know what? Here we go. I like Creep. Done.
No. That doesn't count. You heard that in Guitar Hero.
No, I heard it before Guitar Hero. Fucking video was cool as hell too.
Okay. So, if you are more open-minded than Pokey.
Pokey is very open-minded. Go fuck yourself.
My Iron Lung.
Hang on.
Hold on. No, no.
No. You want to talk about narrow-minded, closed-minded, all that shit?
Excuse me, just because I don't listen to country?
I've put country on for you, and the first thing you hear, first thing you say as soon as you hear lyrics, so he's talking about his truck. He's talking about getting drunk. He's talking about whiskey.
Because they are. I'm not making it up.
He's comparing a girl to whiskey. Or to scotch. To single barrel scotch. No, you don't even get a fucking chance. You don't even sit there and like listen to it for musical value. No, it's all about, oh yeah, this just justifies he's a backwoods hick.
Banjos and slide guitars.
That you really don't hear nowadays.
Because now they're all turning,
you know,
pop.
What?
But that's,
I just heard
story.
The new Reba McEntire the other day. It's actually really good. I was highly impressed.
Well, you know, I could do that too.
Yeah, go back to talking about Radiohead. Go ahead.
So, if you are...
Boo.
If you are more open-minded and you want to listen to something...
You can't call me closed-minded.
To Radiohead, yes, I can. To Radiohead, yes, I can.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's fucking Radiohead. You're fucking closed-minded on this one.
No.
You're fucking bullshitting.
To country, no. To country, I will be completely closed-minded because all the songs are about two things.
You're segregating a whole entire genre.
Yep.
Boo.
Get over it.
Go ahead. Start talking about Radiohead.
Balls. Exactly. So, if you want to listen to a couple tracks on that album, it's a good album, considering, like I said, where they came from and where they went are two totally different directions.
Number fucking two.
Yep.
Boo.
My Iron Lung and High and Dry are actually really, really good songs. All right.
I have nothing to retaliate with. Like,
all right, so let's get back on track and back to the list, because I have a feeling number one is the exact same.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it
you
might
will
be.
You
if
will
this
love
isn't on your list, I would be shocked.
And
as shocked as I am that Radiohead's on your list.
Okay, so number one, I know exactly who it is.
Yeah, as much as I ripped him apart in the last podcast and. In the season finale of season one, I ripped this motherfucker apart. Because he said some pretty controversial shit that... No. He has gone off the fucking deep end. But this album... Great album from front to back and then front to back on the other album. And if you do it like I've urged all of you to do it, in past podcasts, can make for a really great concept album. Smashing Pumpkins with Melancholy and Infinite Sadness.
It had to be number one.
Had to be. You know,
this was the defining Smashing Pumpkins. Plus, it was a double disc, and there's hardly any double discs that are worth listening
to.
No,
not at
all.
And you know, honestly, you think about the two essential Smashing Pumpkins albums. It was Siamese Dream, and then it was this. The album in between, I think, was called Gish, which was...
Why don't I remember that?
Go look it up. You got the computer right there. Look at the discography, because I think that this was the third studio release from the band, maybe fourth. But this album, at the time, I was a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan. Like, I had to have everything that the Smashing Pumpkins put out. And love disc one. Absolutely loved it. Love the fucking... Again, I'm a music video junkie. Bullet with Butterfly Wings was one of the best music videos for that alternative grunge rock albums.
And actually, the album right before this one was called Pisces Iscariot.
And then before that, there was one, and I think Siamese Dream was their debut.
Let's see. Siamese Dream was 93.
Yep.
The other one was, the one I just said, was 94, and then it was this one in 95.
Yeah. Was Siamese Dream their debut, though? I don't think so. You got the discography right there, dude.
I'm looking. Because they all lumped this the fucking remixes, or not the remixes, the remasters in here, too.
No.
Gish was 91.
Yeah. Then Siamese Dream. Then, God.
The Pisces one. Just call it Pisces.
Then this one.
And I completely lied that Smashing Pumpkins is not my number one.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
You want to know what my number one is? The Batman Forever soundtrack.
Really? You ass clown. I know you're fucking with me on that one. But...
Yeah, because I don't want to admit the Smashing Pumpkins are actually number one in something.
But for 95, this has to be number one.
Yeah.
It can't not be. Whether you like Bullet Butterfly Wings, whether you like something a little bit more heavier and harder and zero, whether you like something...
Tonight yeah. was probably my favorite.
I love the whole album, front to back. And there are songs where people are just like, I don't get it. I urge all of you, if you really want to check this album out, you got to put it on some sort of computer, because it's the only way you're going to be able to do it. You got to go track one, track one, track two, track two, track three, track three, track four, so on and so forth, all the way down. You do that, and holy shit.
And actually,
the only reason that I, the only reason I'm able to do that is because when I downloaded it from like my CD onto my phone, it did that, because it went, oh, one, disc one, one, disc two. And that's how I was able to do that. I would have never thought to do it that way, but the wonderful world of technology said that's the way to do it.
Actually, just by looking at this, a lot of the songs that everybody knows are all on disc one.
Yeah.
Only 1979 is on disc two.
I'm aware. You don't need to tell me.
I don't know. A lot about this album is good, but a lot about it just bothers me. Because, yeah, there are some tracks that are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, maybe you can explain it to me, because I don't understand. Like... Cupid Deluxe. Galapagos, I don't get that one either. XYU, I don't get that one either.
Have you listened to the album in whole? Or are you just going by like...
Time? No, I've listened to it, because I actually have it on my iPod. And I've listened to it. Like, so there's certain songs that just don't do it for me. I don't get what he's going after. What's the one that's... Is that... I might have already said the name, but what's the one that kind of sounds like a carousel song?
Don't know off the top of my head.
But it's like, what are you doing? Is this supposed to be like a lullaby? Or are you supposed to be going to sleep? Like, what the fuck?
But that was the thing, though. Like, this is one of those albums where you either take it as disc one and disc two, And when you do disc one, disc two, it's like, okay, yeah, disc one's really cool. Disc two, meh. Or you do it like I said. And then you'll be like, this is a really good fucking concept album. I'm telling you. If you don't believe me, then you have to check it out that way.
Well, I will take you for your word, number two. So, this concludes our official top 11 albums that turned 20 in 2015.
God, I'm old.
So, we will recap the entire list from 11 next all week. All the way to number one. No, we're not going another week on this. All right. So, go ahead. What do you have starting at number 11?
Number 11, I have the failure of an album that actually made my list because it elevated the album before it that much, with Green Day's Insomniac. Number 10, you either like them or you hate them, just like the real deal, the President of the United States of America. Number 9, Marilyn Manson with Smells Like Children. Number 8, I really regret putting them on my list because I think the lead singer's a douchebag, but it does need to be on the list. Everclear with Sparkle and Fade. Number 7, My First Tie. Oh, My First Tie. Two Hot Chicks. Shirley Manson and Garbage. And Jewel with Pieces of You. And by the way, when I say Shirley Manson, she's the lead singer of the band Garbage, and the name of the album was Garbage. Number 6, Rancid and Out Comes the Wolves. The only fucking punk band in the 90s to actually stay true to being punk. Number 5, I lied to you all last week, I have a second tie with the Foo Fighters and their self-titled album, and the Deftones with Adrenaline, both because they're groundbreaking and sounds that people never really heard before or even considered to hear before. You know, it's something different. Number 4, the triumphant British Invasion that was just a little rowboat. Oasis with What's the Story, Morning Glory. Again, great album. Band fucked up the rest of it. Number 3, another hot chick. She was like right above my bed with Shirley Manson. Gwen Stefani and No Doubt with Tragic Kingdom. Number 2, Alanis Morissette with Jagged Little Pill. And number 1, Smashing Pumpkins with Melancholy and Infinite Sadness.
All right, so
since, and once again, let me just remind all of you, 95. I'm 31 now. 95, I was going through puberty.
And so are you, that so. One, yes. But I'll talk about things that were above my bed. But anyway.
Hey.
Number 11, Rancid, Out Come the Wolves. Number 9 was Garbage. Number 8 was Collective Soul. All these albums are self-titled, unless I tell you the name of the album, because somehow that became a thing. Number, let's see, 10, 9, 8. Number 7, no, 11, 10, 9, there we go. Number 8, Presidents of the United States of America. Number 7 was...
I am not a crook.
Yes, you are. Number 7... Oasis with What's the Story, Morning Glory, because the album was meh. The rowboat, yes, I agree with the rowboat, but the album was meh. It wasn't a great album, but it started what should have been the second British Invasion. Number 6, the original fusion rock band, 311. Number 5.
They also had that. When I talked about No Doubt and I talked about Deftones, like that piccolo, short tom, all that stuff, the drumming aspect.
If you really want to hear a piccolo snare, that's where you can actually hear it.
It's the same thing that No Doubt did, same thing that the Deftones did.
Oh, yeah.
That was the new thing for drumming. Anyway, back to your list. So number 6 was 311.
Yes, number 6 was 311. Number 5 was the Foo Fighters, or Dave Grohl, titling himself as the Foo Fighters. Number 4 was Above Your Bed, No Doubt, and Tragic Kingdom. Number 3, Alanis Morissette and Jagged Little Pill. Number 2, Radiohead, With the bends?
Boo. It gave me the bends.
And number one, it had to be number one, The Smashing Pumpkins and Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness. And that album actually went 8 times platinum about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's at now.
Look it up. Maybe 9.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But
great fucking album, though.
Thank you all for listening, and hope that you kind of like the new format that we got going on here, because this is the way we're doing it from now on.
Do we want to reveal next week's topic?
Nah, that's another new portion of it. We're not going to give you next week's topic.
I think we should, because here's my thoughts.
I'm
going to
be the bastard. No, I'm going to say no.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no. Here's my thoughts on this, because we love getting your feedback. I love hearing feedback after we do these podcasts. But just once, I want to go into a podcast with people's feedback prior. And I think our next topic is one that could be done that way.
But then if we don't get any feedback for whatever reason, then we look like the jackass.
Well, no. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're all jackasses for not commenting.
Well, our fans are not jackasses. We just look like jackasses because we asked for feedback and didn't get any. So, I say we just keep it a secret.
I want feedback. No. Fuck you. You liked Radiohead. No.
You like country. No. Do you want to start this argument again?
Next week's topic is our top 11 musical influences.
Now, you gave it away. You let it out of the bag.
Now, Matt and myself, we both play music. Matt plays guitar, sings a little bit. Me, I've had my tour around the instruments.
You get around.
When it comes to instruments, I did. I played drums for a long time. I dabbled in guitar because I thought it was some way to pick chicks up when I was in college.
You were that Dave Matthews wannabe, weren't you?
Yeah. And then, you know, as I got older, I joined a band and, well, they had a lead guitarist, they had a rhythm guitarist, they had a drummer, and they had a singer. They didn't have a bass player. Pokey, you know how to play guitar. It's the same thing, just 4 strings. Okay.
You can't really argue that.
So, I borrowed $200 from this fucker across from me and bought myself a bass and an amp. Eventually, I paid him back $199.
Because you're a dick.
And that single dollar bill hangs on my wall now.
Do you realize what I could do with that other dollar? How many bags of chips I could get?
Half a bag. Half a gallon of gas now.
Yeah. Thank God.
And guess what? Still a dollar short.
So, please leave your feedback for our next podcast.
Yes, I know that some of you are musicians out there.
What are your top 11 influences?
Yeah, and even if you're not musicians, you know what? I'm going to open this up to the fan base. Even if you're not a musician, say you're, I don't know, a sports enthusiast, and you like talking sports. I'll just read the list. I don't want to reason on like sports, but if you're a musician, tell me why. Give me a little blurb.
So leave us your feedback, and you can do that.
Who inspires you?
At theygoto11@yahoo.com.
Spell it all out.
Spell the whole thing out.
Twitter us, even though we don't know how the fuck to tweet. I don't even know what the fuck a tweet is, or you know what? Bird in the tree.
Make sure that you also check out the Facebook periodically. Follow us on Facebook because we do most of the posting on there, and we've starting to post news stories, you know, music.
Yeah, actually,
and
that's what closed out season one.
Yep, the news.
The news.
And it was actually a very relevant topic going on at that time. So,
yeah, and I think it was actually a successful podcast, too.
So if you haven't checked that out, check out the last podcast, check out the Facebook page, and make sure that, you know, you check back on there time to time. We're starting to post funny things on there, you know, memes and such. And,
yeah.
It'll just be a good old time.
Your whole meme that you posted the other day has, like,
that was over awesome.
200 views, I think.
I couldn't help but post that.
I almost did.
That was too funny.
So
we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna continue, you know, news and such on there. So make sure that you just follow us on there, keep up to date, and then, you know, what we kind of weed out, we weed out the garbage and give you the good stuff. So, you know, we're always gonna post that on there. So just follow us.
You don't
want to
hear that Scott Stepp took a bloody turd after landing himself in prison. Nobody does.
So let's wrap this up. I'm Matt.
And I am 4 millisecond pokey.
Don't want to know. Where they go to 11. So turn
it
up.
Wait. You know, you sat there and you mocked me for having pictures of Gwen Stefani and Shirley Manson above my bed when I was like puberty driven pokey.
Go on.
When I got into high school, towards the end of high school, early college, I had a mirror in my headboard. On that note, he's Matt. I'm Pokey. He's obviously speechless and
very disturbed.
Hence, I have victory.
Turn it up. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace out.
Later.